time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
So good to have you with us, everybody. Noticing people dialing in. Just had someone dial in from 310. I think that's the LA area. If I'm not mistaken, but wherever you're dialing in from, good to have you with us. Appreciate you taking time to join us on your busy Monday, March 19th. We're pleased to bring you this podcast. It's created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we are the proud recipient of many awards, but most of all, we're most honored with you, our listeners, telling others about the podcast. We're thrilled to have you here, everybody. We're going to get into another really exciting program. We're going to be talking about reverse mortgages. There's a reverse renaissance going on in the marketplace, and we're going to bring in a market leader to talk about it. His name is Scott Gordon. He's owner of Open Mortgage. Very excited to have him tell us why reverse mortgages are making a comeback in the mortgage industry, and we'll get him on there. And also, he's the newest sponsor of the podcast. A lot of growth opportunities, and we're thrilled to have him here. We're thrilled to have you dialed in. Also grateful for our sponsors that we have. Our regular sponsors are, of course, the MBA. We sponsor, and they are a big part of what we do here, Mortgage Action Alliance. If you're not a part of it, folks, you do not have to be a member of the MBA to become a member of the Mortgage Action Alliance. I encourage you to check it out. Yeah, MBA website, put in Mortgage Action Alliance. You can Google either one of them. It'll come right up. Also, Arch MI, the creator of the innovative RateStar program. What a great group of people they are, and they're doing some innovative things in the industry. Check out, you see the deal that's being proposed by the Freddie Mac? That's pretty interesting. Thrilled to have Arch MI as our sponsor. Also, Black Knight, a leading provider of integrated software, data, and analytic solutions that facilitate and automate many of the business processes across the home ownership life cycle, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative, the power of the network, Velma, an efficient email marketing machine. I guess it's mailed, regular snail mail as well, if you just choose to use that. But anyway, we use it for the email. It's a great platform. It stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. Also, our newest sponsors, the Knowledge Coop, providing easy and fun training for the mortgage lending industry, for mortgage lenders across the country. And of course, our newest sponsor, Lenders One, the largest and oldest mortgage cooperative in the industry, and creating competitive advantages for both lenders and vendors. And as I said at the opening, Open Mortgage, who is going to talk to us today with Scott Gordon as our special guest on the reverse mortgage renaissance going on. Also, always say a special thank you to Alice and Andy and Joe and Alan for their contributions to the program. And you, our listeners, for sharing it with so many people across the industry. You know, I'm doing a lot of public speaking. In fact, I'm broadcasting today from Ellie Mae's user conference here in Las Vegas. And it starts this evening, and I'll be get to go to the dinner with the chairman's group, dinner with Sig and Jonathan, and a group of us having dinner, talking about all the developments going on. Lots going on. They've got a new release that they've been trying to get out. We're excited to get an update. We'll bring you some reports from that. Alan and I will be talking more about that in Tech Stack Radio later on. Let's get over to Rob Van Rapphorst with an update with the Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, the Senate passed a major regulatory relief piece of legislation known as the Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act. This bipartisan bill includes several MBA-supported priorities, including SAFE Act amendments to create a transitional authority to originate loans, consumer protections for PACE loans, relief from HMDA reporting requirements, and a partial fix to TRID. MBA is now encouraging the House of Representatives to quickly consider this piece of legislation. Last week, MBA's weekly mortgage application survey showed that mortgage apps increased 0.9% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to its highest level since January 2014 at 4.69%. MBA's Tech Solutions Conference and Expo 2018 is taking place this April 15th through the 18th in Detroit, Michigan. That's it for this week on the Mortgage Minute.
Yeah, love the partnership with the MBA. Also, a couple other conferences coming up that I'll be speaking at is April 12, 2018, DoubleTree in Detroit, speaking in Dearborn. We've got Motor City Conference going up there. Vince Valvo and the team at Agility is putting on a conference. These conferences, folks, check them out. Also, the one April 19th, I'll be speaking at that one in Hollywood Casino in St. Louis. As if I need another casino after last week I was here for the Independent Community Bankers Association here in Las Vegas, flew home for 2 days and flew back to the Ellie Mae, as if I need another casino. But I'll have one more in my agenda in April, so there it goes. Folks, we're going to be right back after a word from Velma with a report from Les Parker and Joe Farr on the market.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
Yeah, we're going to have Brent Embler coming on the program again to give us another update what's going on in marketing. He's got the direct marketing, how to use email effectively. There's some do's and don'ts. There's some things that they have got some new information on. We'll be sharing that here. And I think it is the April 2nd podcast that we have him scheduled for. Let's run over to Les Parker and get a macro update on what's going on in the markets. Good to have Les Parker with us. So, Les, what do you have?
Thanks, Dave. This is Market Logics Live, sponsored by LoanLogic.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time.
And we think it's going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings him round again to find. He's not the man they think he is at home. Oh, no, no, no. He's a rocket man. Rocket Man is broke. China doesn't want a united Korean peninsula, nor does it want to transfer endless wealth to North Korea, which will dramatically increase when the Kim dynasty falls. So China wants the U.S. and South Korea to help finance the North Korean survival. Kim wants to stay in power and is willing to be China's ward state. South Korea, U.S., and Japan want the nuclear war threat eliminated. All sides can win, so a deal can be struck. But the market does not care. These views are my own. Go to LoanLogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Oh, what a great music parody when you think about North Korea. Rocket Man. Good job, Les Parker. And I always love Gary Katzbone gets in there, does the mixing of it. A lot of good work goes into that little spot, folks. They do a great job. Kudos to you guys. Joe Farr, we're not going to ask you to sing Rocket Man or any other tune out there, but it's good to have you here giving us an update on the markets. What you got for us, my friend?
Well, we're slightly positive today. Unfortunately, it's because the stock market's taken a bit of a fall. Last I looked, we were down over 300 points on the Dow, getting close to 400 points. MBS prices are only up a couple 30 seconds on the day, but no economic data came out today, so, you know, this is mostly a reaction to the drop in the stock market. Dave, last week was another fairly quiet week. MBS prices ended the week just a little lower. Prices higher, rates a little lower. The important data that came out last week, as we talked about last week, it was the CPI data, which, because it was right on expectations, caused little reaction in the market. But retail sales, on the other hand, came in a good bit below expectations, and that was good for MBS prices and mortgage rates and was the primary reason that rates ended the week a little bit lower. Late last week, on Friday, the JOLTS report came out and showed a very big increase in job openings. So we'll see if that plays in any way in what the Fed does this week. So speaking of the Fed and this week, that's the primary thing to pay attention to this week. The Fed statement will come out at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday, followed by a press conference starting around 2:30. It'll be interesting to see how Jerome Powell's first meeting goes and how he handles the press conference. He's always been good at that, but it will be his maiden voyage as the chair of the Fed. a quarter point's all but given. You know, I think last time I looked, it was like a 90% chance of a quarter point increase coming out of this meeting. On Wednesday, but before the meeting comes out, existing home sales will be released, and a small increase is expected there over last month. Later in the week, on Friday, the new home sales will come out, and durable orders comes out. So it's not a real big week for news, but the Fed meeting is going to dominate, and you know the political issues that are running around certainly could impact the market at any time.
You know, it's going to be real interesting. You know, every time we have a new Fed chairman, and Chairman Powell does his first press conference, and he's just an experienced speaker, but it's not unlike those that do their maiden voyage and the microphone as a Fed chairman. It's another dimension. And remember, Janet Yellen made some missteps there she had a little trouble. She was an experienced speaker. So, you know, we could experience a little volatility based on people second guessing what Chairman Powell has to say. And so we shall see, but thanks for the update. We'll be paying attention for the innuendos and all the little things that go on with this. You know how it is. Monitoring the feds is like a mom monitoring a newborn baby. They pay attention to how every breath sounds. So thanks, yeah. Joe. Looking forward to having you participate later on in the podcast. Good to have you with us. So grateful to have you with us all this time, along with all the other regulars. So we're looking forward to getting your thoughts on reverse mortgages. Listeners, if you're looking for a fun and easy training program and technology tool to use, listen to what our friends at Knowledge Group have to offer. And they're a great group of people. So let's hear from Nathan from Knowledge Group. Nathan?
At the Knowledge Group, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Cube, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
And they do a great job of it. Pay attention, folks. Get to know these folks. They really know what they're doing, and they do a great job of mixing in humor. But another person knows a little bit about training is Alice Alvey. So good to have Alice here with us. Alice, I'm missing you being here at the conference. Last year you were here. You were at Indicom, and we got a chance to sit and spend some time together and work. So I'm feeling a little, some of my friends aren't here. You're one of them. So. But Alice Alvey, by the way, folks, is a CMB and Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. And here she is with a legislative update. Good to have you back, Alice. We missed you last week.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Well, as was mentioned by the MBA in their Mortgage Minute at the beginning of the program, we did get the Senate Bill 2155, the Economic Growth Regulatory Relief and Consumer Protection Act, passed through the Senate. Now, for those of you who listen to the show regularly, you know we've talked about various bills like this. There was a version or some versions of this passed by the House. So this really is a great sign that we're getting some leverage, that we should be able to get something similar pulled together by the House. Now, the challenge that we are facing is this really is like 37 bills that have all been combined into this. And then when it went through this process with the Senate, they added about 163 amendments. So it does need to get kind of flushed out a little bit to get to final wording. Hopefully they can just pick up this version in the House and move forward with it. And was mentioned earlier, the biggest benefit to our industry is the SAFE Act transitional licensing that will be in here. There's definitely some benefit to smaller lenders who will be getting exempt from some of the heavier regulations that came out of Dodd-Frank. So this definitely does play to loosening up some of the regulations if you know, the administration's been talking about. So we're still working through the finer details of some of the things that are included in here because it does have, you know, six different sections and, you know, several dozen different areas that it's trying to address. It will touch the industry in little ways, but the most impactful one is the SAFE Act transitional licensing piece. So reach out to your congressmen and women, as Dave alluded to, through the Mortgage Action Alliance, to get that, to get them to pay attention to this, and in the House come up with a companion bill. As far as a few other things, the other one I'd like to bring to your attention is the FHFA credit scoring request for information. So the Federal Housing Finance Agency is considering a change in the credit score models that are being used by Fannie and Freddie. There is a huge need to take a look at this again. The FICO model has certain limitations. The Vantage Score model definitely is worth looking at. And as an industry, although we can think of all the hurdles, it is definitely something we should say, it's time to take a look at this again. Take a look at what benefits, you know, FICO 9 and the new Vantage scores can bring to the table. So I really strongly encourage everyone to take a look at this and respond to FHFA. Responses are due by March 30th. You need to put this as a high priority item to go in and say to FHFA, pick option 3. As an industry, we want choices, and we want that there are more credit scoring models put on the table for us to work with, because that opens the door for more consumers. You know, certainly we recognize there has to be procedures and boundaries, and yes, there will be complications, but that shouldn't stop us from opening up the door to new analytics. So get out to the Federal Housing Finance Agency website. You can respond directly from there under their policy. If you actually just Google FHFA RFI for request for, it's actually an inquiry, it should come up and key in RFI credit score and Vantage score, and it'll also come up. And please get your responses out by March 30th in favor of option 3. We want to see that people will consider other scoring models. And that's my report for today, Dave.
Good job, Alice. Yeah, very interesting. Really interesting your report about the regulatory environment now that we're seeing some changes there. So we'll just stay tuned. And a great place to come back to is the Lickin' and Lending podcast. And by the way, for those of you, we just got another request to say, where can I go again? I thought I could go listen to Alice's comments. Yes, you can. For each one of our regulars, we have it broken out on our website, every one of these segments. In other words, you just want to listen to what Alice said for the last, however we have any weeks you want to go back, it's all right there on the website. Check it out, folks. Lickin' and Lending, and you'll see each have their own page. Encourage you to check it out. We're going to be right back after a brief word.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
Yeah, the power of the network. So good that we get to network with as many people in the industry. And it's not a big enough industry, but it sometimes seems like a big family. So getting to the right ones is so important. We've got Alan with us from TechStack Radio. We collaborated and have the last of the logo and the intros and outros all created. Very excited about this. Alan, good to have you here, friend. How are you doing?
Likewise, good to be here. I'm doing great, getting super excited. We had definitely some work to do, some things to get aligned. That's right, I'm actually recording this Thursday a teaser to one of our first interviews, and so we're super, super excited over there. I know you're over at the Ellie Mae Experience, so I'm excited to hear, David, from you later on what's going on there and the word in technology. Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be exciting. Myself, I know a few folks and friends and peers and such that are there as vendors and also lenders listening and hoping to, you know, learn a lot. Let us know what happens there. Today, I want to talk briefly about something that we haven't all really been chatting about much, which is servicing technology. I think it's an area that we'll hear more about this year. I was doing a little bit of research, and, you know, I think I even brought up on a prior podcast that Fannie Mae in November said that they're going to be focusing this year, research and development will continue at a furious pace as they continue to look at the points of friction and pain for mortgage lenders and servicers. I've been talking to a couple of different people. Others have brought the topic up. Some are directly affected and some are just curious, you know, that they ask questions how technology is going to play a role here. So I've been doing a little bit of investigation. I would say there's, you know, four major points, David, that I want to bring up today. First one is, you know, how are servicers responding to natural disasters such as hurricanes, floods, mudslides? We just had fires, wildfires in California. that's a big topic that I'm seeing a lot of. You know, MBA servicing conference that just occurred last month in Dallas, they talked about those exact issues. You know, we need to learn about our customers is what they were saying. We need to understand how to communicate with them, how to let them know that we're there for them. And information about their history and their payments and help to understand how to work with them is going to be very important, right? You use business intelligence, you have a better idea about their interactions. Two is compliance, right? Very hot topic. I think as you look at the cost of servicing, compliance is an area that continues to rise as other areas may drop or sustain themselves. You know, it's growing. Dealing with borrowers in bankruptcy, dealing with state and local and in government compliance is an issue, the costly. A lot of things is there's human component to that, right? And sometimes those human components haven't been redefined, so they're overlapping each other. Technology isn't really being leveraged. And so it's causing more costs. And by the way, if you don't do compliance correctly, it causes even more money in the end just because of the fact that, you know, you have issues now to mitigate against. Three, data needs. Super, super important. Onboarding, servicing transfers, having and needing accurate data, how to move that data across the finish line or from one side to the other very easily. Business intelligence is going to be really big with that data, being able to understand the data is accurate. And then, of course, security needs, right? There's a lot of personal identifiable information. And then there's that constant contact. There's the acquisition of data, those different components with the borrower. And the more data you can collect, the better you can do with compliance, the better that you can do with understanding how to deal with your borrowers. So that was number three. And then finally, number four, innovation and technology. Big, big area. Significant cost still goes into the technology component. It's going to continue to rise. Right, I think a common topic that we've been hearing around the industry is, hey, I'm doing all this investment in technology. When am I going to get an ROI? When am I going to see, you know, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and I'm going to get all of this innovation and great experience for everybody? So technology is going to play a big role. It's going to do the data validation we just talked about. It's going to help you acquire, you know, technology to do business intelligence and to understand what to do with it. It's going to get you that security. And it's going to help you get a more cost-controlled servicing expense structure. I was looking at, you know, what is the big bang, right? And I know you had blockchain that I wasn't on last week that I wasn't able to participate in. Well, one of the big things is that, you know, people are saying that blockchain could actually almost change or disrupt the servicing industry in a big, big way. So National Mortgage News had a great article. I can publish the link for that. What they said is that the problem is not transporting the data itself. It's the security and the privacy of the data, the integrity of the data. And it's none of those things by themselves. It's when you put them all together, this perfect storm of emerging technology that we have. So in summary, my opinion, David, most important, if you focus on the borrower and the borrower's experience, everything else behind it supports it, right? How do you give them better access? How do you provide better compliance? How do you move the process along faster? How do you communicate better with them? And that translates all into the back end. So it'll be interesting to see throughout the year. Servicing technology is going to be definitely a big area to follow.
Lots of interesting developments going on. Yeah, we've got a huge response to the blockchain podcast last week. A lot of people are really paying attention to that, the potential developments, and a lot of articles around that. So it'll be very, very, very interesting. We got lots
of... You know, David, the one big thing, just to interrupt you, I'll steal another second of your time. The very big thing at the end about blockchain is that it contains one location of data that can be shared by everybody that has to connect and communicate with it. So if you think about all the hands that data can get into and having that in one secure, unique location is super, super efficient.
It's going to be a disruptor. I keep hearing more and more as I subscribe to several podcasts, not surprising, on this topic. I'm hearing more and more about how disruptive blockchain technology is. So we're going to be covering a lot more of that and a whole lot of other things at Tech Stack Radio. It's going to be coming. I know we've been talking about it, taking a lot of heat for how long it's taken, but we want to do it and do it right. So kudos to you, Alan. Looking forward to talking to you soon. Folks, it is a distributive, not a centralized. Blockchain is a distributed technology, not a consolidated, centralized technology. Good point to bring out. Someone just texted that in. All right, looking forward to having you back. We're going to be right back after this brief break from Jim Jump at Arch MI. Always thrilled to have our friends with Arch race our program. What you got for us, Jim?
Thanks, David. Let me tell your audience a little bit about Archemy RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by Archemy's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archemy.com or archemycu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
Yeah, good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate it, and great to have our sponsors, RateStar. Yeah, I tell you, they're a leader in so many ways. What they're doing. Real involved with Open Doors Foundation. Andrew, who we're going to have as a guest on the Lickin' On Leadership Program. That's a good segue. I should probably talk a little bit about that. We're having a lot of listeners. We just interviewed and played the interview with Rodrigo Lopez this past Saturday. And these podcasts, Lickin' On Leadership podcasts, are really getting downloaded and listened to. Chris George was there. We had him on the week before. John Robbins. There's so much wisdom that's being shared through these guys that have been in the industry for years, and very excited about the Lickin' On Leadership, so check that out. But Archemy, Andrew, we're going to have him on, chairman of Archemy, a great partnership with them. Let's run over to the Profit Doctor. Good to have you here, friend. Let's see, I'd probably help if I turned on your mic. I thought I had it turned on, Profit Doctor. Oh, I didn't. How rude of me. I am so sorry.
You missed my lead-in joke, Dave. What's the deal?
Oh, gosh. Okay, go ahead. Let's rewind. We're ready.
Well, you know, you can hear the sirens in the background, so I was just wondering why they're coming to get you. But you're in Las Vegas,
yeah,
so what do you expect?
Yeah, there's sirens. There seems like something going on. But after the shooting, I tell you, being over, driving by and looking up at the 23rd floor, whatever it was, at the Mandalay, and looking across and seeing that thing, it just brings back. And it's hurt business over there at Mandalay. A lot of people are going to this end of the Vegas Strip. Not that this is any more secure, but, man, there's security everywhere, a lot more so. But thought about you because I look at all the technology and I'm looking at what's lying ahead here. You and your wife, Teresa, do a lot with Ellie Mae. So wish you were here to enjoy some of the shows with me or something. But anyway, what you got for
us, Prophet
Doctor?
I would have loved to have joined you, Dave. Well, so on my plate today, talking about your speaking engagements, I'm going to be speaking for 5 weeks, starting on the 4th, at the MBA webinar. And we're going to be talking about accounting, mortgage accounting, loan level profitability, how to figure out what is ailing your bottom line, how to know how much you make per branch, per originator, by product, your interest expense, your interest income, by warehouse line and investor. It's important to really have deep, what we would call granularity, deep understanding of the numbers. It really helps. You got to know it to be able to feel the pulse, to know what to change to improve your business performance. So that's coming up on the 4th. Please join. Please sign up. That's happening. Go to mba.org and then education and look for webinars. So today's the 19th, so we're sliding down to that end of March, the deadline for the filing of our HUD audit. So we in accounting are furiously wrapping up any last-minute audit issues. We're wanting to get that audit report out and submitted. So that's what is happening in the accounting department today. So Dave, continuing some of my thought around improving margins or managing margins or surviving in a lower margin environment. You know, one way to make more money is to have more revenue. Well, with the competitive position in the market, it's kind of harder to have more revenue. So the other thing to do is to have less expense. And when you have less expense, when you're in the mortgage lending business, that means you've got to have fewer people doing more loans. So you have to do more with less. And in order to do that, we need to do it once and do it right the first time, as people who know me hear me say frequently. And so
yes.
Part of this is finding efficiencies, and efficiency is a really fuzzy word. It's like nailing Jell-O to a wall. Is what does it mean, and how do I get there? And so avoiding redundancy is a great way of driving efficiency. And so we want to do it once and do it right the first time, so we only want to touch loans that are going to close. So obviously that's never going to be the case, but we can actually get better at it, because one of the tests that we can really help to understand this is if we look at the metric application to lock fallout. So which loans were in application but never got locked? Loans that we worked on, loans that we started getting information about but didn't ever get locked and went away early. You may see that some branches have a very high percentage of application to lock fallout and some a low rate of fallout. So that's important to understand, because that means somebody's spending a lot of time doing stuff that never turns into money. We want to do things that make money. So not doing things over and over and over is a good way to not lose money. We want to do it right the first time. So again, part of this becomes with, and I'm going to wrap up here pretty quick, part of this comes from knowing what your capacities are. So how many processors do we need by product, by branch, by originator? And the main gauge that I see out there for people to answer that question is they keep adding staff until the originators stop complaining. Well, you know, that's never going to happen. There's always going to be the next thing to complain about. Rates are too high, processing's too slow, underwriting's too tight. You know, everybody says the same thing. A better answer, though, to evaluate how much staff do you need is to know how the work is done so we can identify waste. We want to eliminate repetitive asks, not tasks. Well, we do want to eliminate repetitive tasks, but I'm saying asks. We want to eliminate repetitive asks. We don't want to ask for stuff over and over and over and over. And we also want to eliminate duplication. I was in one organization not too long ago where the processor checked the LOA, and then the underwriter checked the processor, and then the pre-closer checked the underwriter, and the and then the closer checked it again, and then the funder checked the closer, checked the underwriter, checked the processor, checked the LOA. At some point, there's got to be some level of data authenticity. We've got to have some level of data credibility so that we don't have to keep checking and checking and checking and checking. Obviously, there needs to be a review level for risk abatement, but how much is enough? And people do that because they don't know what functions do what, and they think that they've got to do it because they don't know that anybody else did it. Part of that is just design of workflow. Do it right the first time and do it once. So there's a whole bunch of tools out there for dealing with this. There's a whole new body of art on a concept called design thinking. Really interesting stuff. And so that's one way to go dig deeper into design thinking. That helps to evaluate how to do it. And then people don't like change, so we have to deal with user adoption. And there's a whole body of discussion around change management, so we can deal with change management. Oftentimes, independent mortgage bankers are focused on making loans. They're not focused on studying design thinking and change management. So it's probably not in the toolbox. So it's important to do it right the first time. And so that often means get some help to figure this out. So when we start talking about ethnography, we know what we're talking about because that's an element of design thinking. But ultimately, it means figuring out how to do it right the first time, figuring out how to do it once, and having the staff accept the change because it's going to be good for everybody. And they understand that because they were part of the design process. So there you go, Dave. That's how you survive in a low-margin market.
Well, I actually had a client call me. I was listening to the radio program. Is it really true? I heard the profit doctor say, is it really true that for every dollar of expense you save, that it's like equal to $4 origination income, or vice versa? And it was really fascinating to listen how you wove that into it. You didn't even know that, but I get phone calls from you folks. You can call me, or you can call the Profit Doctor directly, or email him at MBS. Sorry. Andy, I worked over. We're friends. We worked together so long as we just make up each other's email. Andy@mbs-team.com. Email him and get a hold of him, or 512-501-2812. Lots of good wisdom in this guy, and he's getting his PhD to produce. His wisdom level, his knowledge level is going up. Andy, good to have you with us. Appreciate it so
Thanks,
much.
Dave.
You bet. Got some more feedback came in. Three more texts just came in about distributed processing. The blockchain, is it distributed or centralized? It's distributed, but it can be centralized within each distribution. Wow, we got to get that sorted out. A lot of thing activity came back within that comment from Alan. So more on that. But let's take a quick break. Go out to the KPI of the week, John Maynell, who is Vice President of Client Services for Motivity Solutions, which is a Black Knight company. Let's hear what the KPI of the week is, and we'll be right back after we also hear from Black Knight. So, John, what you got for us?
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID. and the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Of course, as you guys know, Motivity was acquired by Black Knight, and so they have a product called Empower.
Are you looking to reduce loan origination costs while increasing processing speed? With advanced robotic capabilities in Black Knight's Empower loan origination system, lenders can improve cycle times and lower their cost per loan. Empower's robotics can be used for automating a variety of repetitive tasks, including disclosures, third-party service orders, and much more. Learn how you can get Empower now. Visit our website at blackknightinc.com.
I tell you, it's so much fun. I've got five texts in a blockchain. Other people are paying attention to it. Lots of stuff. Thanks, listeners. I appreciate you tuning in. We're making it worse. Andy just texted me and says, we're making this worse. We just got to cover this. We will do that, folks, as we get more information. Man, it's always fun to listen when you hit on a hot topic. We got to make or create a hot topic just on this one, so we'll do some work on that, folks. I'm excited to have with us. Before we go there, I want to tell you one thing about Lenders One Network. They're a new sponsor of ours. Very excited about the partnership we have with them. We just came back from the user conference, and we're going to have their regular content brought in here. But if you're contemplating looking for a cooperative or a collaborative network to be a part of, be sure to check out Lenders One. They should be absolutely in your list of companies to be checking out. They do a great job. I was so impressed with their last conference that we just had in Scottsdale here a couple weeks ago. Very, very good. Now let's get over to talking to a good friend of mine, that I've known for years and years and years, Scott Gordon. He is the president and owner of Open Mortgage. Open Mortgage is based in Austin, Texas. We're just great friend, great client, and now a new advertisers. Scott, you're one guy who thinks about possibilities of what can be done.
Well, I say there's days when we all have to wonder why we're in the mortgage industry, because if you're not up to think about the next new thing every day, wow.
I want to talk about the reverse renaissance, as you've referred to it in our conversation. So for our listening audience, what is a reverse renaissance?
Well, I love alliteration, and I hope we can grow the reverse market fast. Then we could have a rapid reverse renaissance. The sad thing is you can't have a rebirth unless you've gone through your sort of middle ages. And it just hit me recently that the reverse mortgage started in 1991, grew slowly, became fairly popular, but over the last about 8 years has lost a little volume each year.
Yeah.
It's like the Middle Ages of the reverse. And there's reasons for it, and they're very understandable, but it's kind of gone through that downslope, and now we're at this place where I think a rebirth, growth is sort of inevitable.
If you could describe for our listeners what you mean. I mean, I love the metaphor of being the Middle Ages and what we lost during that particular dark time. But relate that more clearly for our listeners as what do you mean when you say the Middle Ages of the reverse mortgage? What happened during the Middle Ages? Talk about that. Give us a little historical perspective.
That part of it, I think, is mostly tied to reverse mortgage loan originator demographics. So can you tell me the age of a mortgage person? I think it's like 54, 55. I don't know the number for a reverse loan officer, but it's got to be 60, 63. I have people on my staff who do a great job for their borrowers, very knowledgeable, but they're 72, 73, 74. They love doing the reverse. So instead of retiring, they just scale back a little and stay in the business. But now you think about the last, say, 8 years, the reverse mortgage, the whole industry's changed. We had Reg Z. On the reverse side, we had financial assessment, which is requiring a credit underwrite on a reverse. And then recently we had 10-2, October 2nd last year. So every time the rules change, it makes the loan better. But for a loan originator, it's like, oh, now I got to learn this new thing. The rules change. We used to mostly do ARMs. Now we're mostly fixed. Then they go back to ARMs. And with these people who are of retirement age, every time the rules change, some of them said, you know, I'm going to retire. So if you have less loan originators and you're really not bringing anybody new in, the whole volume drifts down. And that's what happens.
That really what's happening. It's really interesting. When you look at the reverse mortgage and it is becoming, I mean, it is popular amongst for those that understand it, but if the reverse mortgage is so popular, why did it go through the Middle Ages? What was it, the changes and all the laws? Was that pretty much the whole focus, the whole reason for that?
That's the biggest thing is the laws changing and discouraging some loan originators. As I said, every time one of those laws, the loan got better. It used to be, you have equity, you can have a reverse. But then with financial assessment, we said, well, wait a minute. Let's make sure that you can make your tax, you know, pay your taxes and your homeowner's insurance. And that was really good for borrowers. It made the loan better. But if you're a loan officer who's never done a credit underwrite, remember these people who are focused only on reverse. Loan officers, they laugh and they say financial assessment, you know, big deal. So the demographics of the loan originators caused the Middle Ages when in combination with all these compliance changes. But I think it's the demographics of the borrower community that is going to cause the resurgence. Because, you know, again, look at the numbers. Baby boomers retiring 10 to 11,000 per day, or not retiring, but hitting retirement age. And a lot of them have deep
11,000 a day. Wow.
A day. So they have equity.
Yeah,
don't have savings. And I'm not saying they're all needs-based borrowers. That's a misconception of the reverse, is that it's only for grandma who is kind of out of her retirement phase. But there's really the whole other component of it is financial planning tool.
I want to get over to Andy Schell, because Andy Schell, your in-laws actually looked at this. I don't know if they did anything with it, but you were really exploring this, and you were the one, Andy, that saw a real advantage to it as a financial planning tool. Can you talk briefly about that? I'm not sure if they did, or I don't want to reveal stuff that's going on in the family, but I know you and I talked about it. It was very interesting.
Well, absolutely, Dave. A reverse mortgage is a fantastic retirement planning tool, and it should be something that everybody considers as part of their retirement strategy. We get our 401k plan. If we work for a big company, we may get a pension. We can always be a Walmart greeter and make $8 an hour. But it's kind of more fun to play with the grandkids, so we want to be able to get an income stream, and converting the $800,000 in your home, or even $400,000 in your home, or $2 million in your home, converting the equity in your home to a monthly payment stream that you receive for the rest of your life is a phenomenal way of generating retirement cash flow from your existing asset that you then use as an income stream as you're to supplement your retirement. So it's a great tool, and I think Scott's right on point. As a baby boomer's age, as equity has returned to the market, it's harder to do a reverse when there's no equity. So if equity in the market, we have an aging demographic. So I'm on board with Scott. This is going to be a phenomenal product for years to come.
Yeah, and I think one of the things people say, it's only for those that are, you know, are in a home or been there. It can be used strategically on a purchase where you use the mortgage on that. I'm really fascinated with this whole renaissance, what's going on that. Before we get into, you know, how do we train and get into all the getting the industry up to date, I want to run over to Alice and Joe, see if they have any thoughts on this, especially the regulatory component. Alice, have you stayed up on this?
Well, we've watched it a little bit. Certainly the change in the, as you, he alluded to, is the tightening of the guides a little bit, so it wasn't so much just basically, you know, here's your loan and we don't see if you have any ability to maintain the taxes or maintain the property. My main question is just the investor side of this. The one part I have lost track of is, you know, is there any other player out there besides the FHA HECM for the delivery of this? That's really the best way for a lender to go, right, is because then I'm going to get, at least the loan's going to be 100% insured. I've lost track of where's the investor market on this.
Right now, yeah, it is primarily FHA. There are two private products coming out. One is not out yet. And I think my Joe Morris, my secondary guy, who's been in the industry, I think he started in 91, his first reverse. I think he said there was a proprietary that was just released. And we've been contacted a couple times by hedge funds that want to put a product together. So it's enough of a niche. It's hard to get big investors in, but there is more happening. And that, you know, when you talked about the story with Andy, I hear stories like that. Our own CFO's mother-in-law needed help. Long story short, she got a reverse, but the CFO's sister-in-law, the daughter of this woman, is a successful financial planner in Austin. So we had to explain to her how the reverse work. When it was done, she thought it was great. She's thrilled that her mom has the reverse. And now every 2-3 months, we get a call from her, and she says, I have another client who needs the reverse. So this is like what we see over and over. Sometimes realtors don't understand the idea of using a HECM to purchase a retirement home. Sometimes financial planners don't understand how to use it as a tool. But when you walk them through it, and they understand the upside, the downside, the risk, you know, no product's right for everybody, but then they are converted and they understand how it fits the people they deal with. So it's interesting to watch that happen.
For folks that are wanting to learn more about this, you can go to the government websites and get totally confused, or you can go to openmortgage.com. Scott's got an amazing suite of educational tools with videos and download things, and it's really well done, very easy to follow. So don't go to FHA, you'll just get confused. Go to Scott's website.
Yeah, that's a good point, Andy. It's very, very it is. I was going through those this weekend and just kind of boning up on that, and I go, wow, these are really well produced. Yeah, it's really fun.
We've had this dearth of loan originators. We need to grow the whole reverse mortgage industry. And how do you do that if you're not prepared? The originators are out there. They're listening to your show right now. They do traditional loans. They just need to learn this product.
Well, you know, I didn't go over to Joe, and I got to let him jump in here. Don't have to, but I want to. I always love Joe's perspective. And then we'll add Alan in a little bit later when we start talking about some of the technology stuff. But Joe, any questions or any comments you want to throw in at this point?
Well, Scott, I may be wrong on this, but it just seems as though there's a suspicion that goes along with reverse mortgages, whether it comes from borrowers themselves or the borrower's family. So can you address some of those? Number one, am I right? Number two, to me, it's a fabulous product that you have to overcome these suspicions. Is that true?
Yeah, you've kind of hit the nail on the head. Like when I say financial planners and realtors, so often the first thing they say is, well, yeah, but reverse, you're taking advantage of old people, or you're going to take their house. There are myths that were true a long time ago, but haven't been true for a long time. And there are other myths that were never true. The bank never took your house. So a part of it is just educating people what the product is on the consumer side. And then on the loan officer side, it's interesting. Reverses historically have paid pretty well. With a couple of the law changes recently, I would have said before they paid about double what a traditional loan does to the loan originator. Now it's probably off a little bit from that. But it's not because we've found a way to take advantage of seniors. It's because you're talking about this loan that's based on heavy equity and is insured by FHA. So there's a lot of competition from investors to buy it, which pushes up the premium.
Yep.
I was just going to say, on the loan officer side of it, when you see something pays well, you might think, well, okay, who are we tricking here? What's going on?
That's a great, great point. So let's talk about how do you train and get loan officers up to speed on this product. I mean, and by the way, you have a wholesale division, so people can broker loans to you. You have a correspondent division, you can buy funded closed loans. But the wholesale is probably one for those existing loan officers out there listening, where they can broker loans to you. They can get their company approved to broker loans through you. Obviously, you're hiring people and expanding, so you can go to work for you if you're looking for a change, if you're already in the process of making a change. But you can get into it. So how does someone gain the knowledge on this, Scott? And Andy referenced your videos, which are excellent, but what's the most important thing that you could do to get up to speed on this? Training the next generation of LOs for reverse.
I guess that depends on what channel you're in. So we have a similar model, retail and wholesale, in that I think somebody has to be able to start small. You know, we have Open Mortgage Universities, our online training thing, and we have pathways, each of which is one module with every piece of information we could think of on one specific strategy, like with realtors on a HECM for purchase. But whether it's Open Mortgage or another company, you need to find somewhere where they have the choice of, if you're a loan officer retail, you should be able to find a reverse client, refer them, and make some money, but not have to do the loan. And then the next step is be able, like we call it the partner desk or concierge desk, where you can start the loan, get the disclosures out, do some of the work, but have the desk behind you to make sure it all goes well. And then work your way up to, I do everything. And the same thing on the wholesale side, we have some AEs who only work with larger companies. Like we're currently working with the largest broker in California. I think they have over 400 LOs. But we have other AEs who take on new clients, and this is their first reverse. So those AEs work in a more collaborative, step you through the process kind of way. You know, you don't become Picasso overnight. So, you know, watch the videos, take the coaching, learn, start out easy, learn, do more. Because next year is going to get here in an eye blink. So,
yeah, it is. That's so true.
You know, you can be
getting
an
up to speed on
that.
Yeah, in a short period of time. So one of the things, several people just texted me and said, what's the address? What's the website address? So do you want to give the website for those that can want to go watch the videos?
Openmortgage.com is our general website. And I think if you look for partners is wholesale. In fact, the shortcut to that, I don't go to my own website very often. I have to think about it. The shortcut is tpo.openmortgage.com. Or for retail, I think it's openmortgage.com/careers, or you can navigate to careers.
Yeah, it's a great website. You do a lot of videos. I'm a big fan of a lot of videos, and you do a great job in here with that. And we've already heard about some of these stories, but I mean, this is something traditional loan officers can grow. I mean, are you seeing a struggle with traditional loan officers making the switch, or is it something that, you know, probably the best way to ask the question, Scott, is what are the keys to someone making that switch? And is it a switch or is it a blend? Can you do both?
Yeah. So, okay, you just asked like 5 questions, and they were good ones.
I was thinking it through here. Yeah.
But really, the answer is have a conversation with one of the top 10 lenders, us or another one. If you really do traditional now, it only occurred to me recently that in the top 10 lenders, 5 or 6 biggest ones only do reverse. So if you want to keep doing forward and you want to be retail, then you need to be one of the handful of us who do. I call us unilateral forward reverse.
Unilateral. I like that. Okay.
No, I was going to say, really, you just have to get started. There's so many combinations. Some people don't like the fact that a reverse is more of a consultative sale and it takes a little longer. But again, you're just working a pipeline. So, you know, it depends on how you work, on how that fits. I would never tell people give up traditionals and just do reverse. I think you should add the product. And Andy might have an opinion about it, or even less. But I think a recession is coming. Purchases are going to go down when the recession happens. And it's going to be a great time to know reverse.
Yeah, I was just talking to Les Parker about that. And there's growing evidence that 2019, 2020 were definitely going to be seeing a recession. And if that's the case, how to prepare your income, it's really excellent and so important. Alan, I'll let you jump in on the fray of this conversation here. As we're going different directions, any thoughts on the technology focus side of this, Alan?
Yeah, thank you for switching over. I think there's some technology companies. There's only a few, but I think it's another area that has some discussion, because if you can correctly identify, right, what pricing engines and eligibility engines did with being able to look at multiple scenarios at one time for the origination side many years ago, I think, right, you can do the same thing in the financial planning. You can have a couple really good scenarios about how that equity and that reverse payment actually helps you. So curious what your thought is there.
My thought is it's a good idea. I'm building one.
Well, there you
go.
When you're ready to put it out there, we'd love to learn more.
Well, I would just say the genesis of that is we wanted to help financial planners understand how it fits in. So we wrote an app for financial planners where they could put in some information and model it and see, you know, some charts of what happens with debt over time, what happens with equity, and the line of credit, because reverses have an interesting growing line of credit. So that tool that we already built, we're putting into some other uses.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a real need for these tools, and what you're doing on the video training, it's really exciting. I'm just honored to have the relationship with you and working with you as we look forward to it. You know, we're out of time, but a lot of questions are coming in about the future of this, and a number of them are coming in about the regulatory. People have a general sense from the questions coming in right now, Scott, that this product's going to be regulated away, and nothing can be further than from the truth. This product is viable. They made some adjustments. It's actually, as you pointed out earlier, it's actually gotten better, both better for the consumer, better all the way around. So looking at your crystal ball, talk about the future for this. It's a great hedge for loaners. You're looking for more income. You've already mentioned that. But is this going to be a product that's going to be around for a long time?
You know, I'm biased because I own a reverse mortgage company, a reverse forward.
Yeah.
But I absolutely think it's going to be around for a long time. And I think we can blow up this industry because it could be 10 times the size it is now and still only be in single digit penetration of the market opportunity.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does.
And there is
10
a need
times.
For
wow.
All the regulation has made it better.
And all the regulation has made it better. Yeah. I mean, all the indications when I was doing research for this podcast, I called HUD and they go, we think it's a great product. We think we're committed to it. Don't see any changes there. And that's from fairly senior people there. So, yeah, folks, this is a product you need to check out. You need to head out to Open Mortgage's website. You need to get a hold of Scott, set up time to visit with him. He is accessible. He is a bit of a movie star if you look at him with all these podcasts he has. I mean, with all the videos he's produced, but he wants to talk to you. And I can't think of a better resource out there. He is going at this when others are kind of just trying to figure out where they're going. So he's a leader. He's one of the top lenders already in the marketplace. I encourage you to check it out. And you're going to hear about it every week. We're going to have an update on the podcast talking about this. So, Scott, I want to say thank you for taking time and being here. Before we run out the door, Alice, any other questions or parting thoughts?
No, I think I'm just interested to see where the market can go. You know, and as you said, there are some industry, you know, I don't know, concerns about the fee, the value of the program in relation to the fees. So that always seems to be the biggest education point in comparison and the financial benefit for each consumer. So maybe next time we can, when we get on the program, we can talk a little more in depth about that comparison and how that works.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of that as we come forward in the days ahead. Thoughts, Scott, you want to respond to that real quickly?
Yeah, we can definitely talk about it. And the changes that happened 10 to October 2nd address some of that, and they drop what's called the floor, and we can have another conversation later. It has helped with that.
Good, good, good. Joe, anything else?
No, I'm just, I've long thought it was something that should have taken off quicker than it did. The demographics certainly support it. So it's, and not only is it the demographics, but we've gone through a period of pretty nice home price appreciation. So there's a lot of equity built.
Yeah, that's the best part. Yeah,
that much better.
That's what I was hoping you were going to bring up, because home price appreciation has really aided this program. So there is equity for it to be tapped out there for this. And it's a great product. Andy Schell, last comment before we exit the door.
Well, product better not go away. I'm using it. I'm going to be my house is going to be paid off. I'm going to live debt-free, and then I'm going to do a reverse to get it back out again. That's part of the deal. I can't go away. I'll just be calling on, well, I was going to say I'll call on Scott to do the reverse, although what I need to do is get my son, James, who's an originator, to join Open Mortgage, and he can do the reverse for me.
There you go. Yeah, get him on board. Yeah, I really like James. He and I are wired similarly, and so I just would love to see him get into it. So great company for him to join if you're looking at. Folks, if you're interested in learning more about it, go out to the website. Scott, thanks so much for taking time to join us today on this very important topic. Honored to have you as a sponsor. So listeners, you're going to hear about this each and every week. We're going to have an update. We appreciate it. Again, your website one more time,
openmortgage.com.
Yeah, he's open for business. He's open to talk. Open Mortgage, give them a call, folks. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here. I want to say a special thank you to all of our listeners. We have David Savage is going to be our guest next week, the mortgage coach. We're going to get an update from the perspective on what's going on in the LO ranks. What should you as CEOs know about what we're hearing from the mortgage rank and from the loan origination rank? So David's going to be bringing us that perspective. Lots of good comments that will come out of that. Encourage you to tune in and be here. Appreciate Alice, Andy, Alan, Joe, and our special guest, Scott. One more thing. Check out the Licking and Lending webinar that we've got coming up. You can check it out on our website, as well as String has got a whole bunch of webinars coming up. Very, very good about what's going on. Check out. You can go to stringinfo.com and learn all about it. We've run out of time, folks. Have a great one. See you back here next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licking of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week